Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed, giving you positive Nigerian energy, positive Nigerian vibes, positive Nigerian narratives. Remember, we are the authentic source of Nigerian information. 6 p.m. on a Sunday, you know what it
is. But anyway, let me just...
We did that, but you didn't hear us. Yes, I did that.
I know. Okay. Well, this is Lola on Real Talk with Lola, and my guest is Mr. Femi Odenwumi, great known by the nickname the Great FO. He is the CEO of Creative Intelligence Group. Is a corporate group of strategy, media, and content specialist, and is also a digital marketer, but I would say I nicknamed him my boyfriend. that's another story for another day.
An age-long story, I believe.
It's a very long story, yeah. So Femi, how are you?
Very fine, thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Yes. So today, like I said, we're going to be discussing the new generation man, and I purposely picked you out because I know that you'll do a good justice to this discussion, knowing where you're coming from and where you are at. And basically, what is Real Talk with Lola all about? I try to bring about behavioral modification via media, and most especially as a psychologist, I try to bring about a change in the mindset of what people think things should be and what I really think things should be right now. So, you know, diving straight into the question, Femi, before we go straight into it first, can you just tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Like you mentioned, I do run a company called the Creative Intelligence Group. I'm in my 40s. I'm based in Lagos, married, got two children, and that's it. No more children. I think two is a fantastic number. And we both agree, you know, that we'll give our kids the best we can and lock it at that. Pretty much I've had a very interesting life. I grew up in one of the most interesting circumstances. Didn't grow up with my parents, grew up with my my aunt and my uncle, had to, you know, get through life, you know, one struggle at a time. Well, at sometimes many struggles. But, you know, I, like you said, I'm quite happy about where I am now because everything is literally, you know, fighting for a chance and then, you know, having people who also gave me a chance at life and quite happy that at least I'm successful, I'm content and I'm still going places, you know, and enjoying my life as I go. So, that's brief about me.
Okay, though. Yes, I mean, I would say you're a new generation man, and I'm very sure I know you know what I'm talking about because with the men out there now, we see a lot of things, we hear a lot of things, but again, we need to know what the reality is, and I think you are one of the realities I've come to know and I've come to see, and I've come to see you from a different light. But now I want you to, you know, look at this topic that I'm talking about. So right. Many things go around being a man, and I use the word being a man, but it takes for me, like I used to say to you then, boys are not men. A boy would be a boy. It takes a grown boy to be a man. And when you get to that stage of being a man, nobody needs to tell you. You know what it takes. So as a young man in Nigeria of today, you understand? Yeah. And I'm not going to just say Nigeria. I'm just saying... In the world now, what is your idea of the new, what's the new generation man compared to the other men I wouldn't want to say our fathers. Let me just even say our fathers. Yes, you are the new ones. What is the difference now? What are you guys doing differently?
Okay, I guess I can start first from from saying, from talking about what position we occupy. And I would I'll pick my generation as people in their late 30s to their mid 40s. So I'm in my early 40s, and I have, of course, a lot of my friends, you know, from 40s to 50. And we've come into this position where essentially we are bridging a gap. Yeah, so bridging a gap between the previous generation of, and if you don't mind, I would actually just locale it to Nigerian men, because we're quite okay. special like that. So bridging the gap between the previous generation of Nigerian men, who are generally perceived to be strong, largely perceived to be emotionless, you know, hardworking, but then, you know, prioritizing, you know, things like career and whatnot over, you know, other aspects of life like family and whatnot. And not to say that every man in that previous generation were like that, of course. I'm just talking about the general norm. But if you were going to characterize people like me as the new generation man, then what we do is we are bridging that gap between the generation of our fathers with the generations that's to come. And I think I might be wrong, but I think we're possibly the best generation, or the generation that enjoyed the best within the Nigerian scope, because we're the people that grew up in the late 80s, 90s, really enjoyed life and saw what life was when, you know, Nigeria struggled, you know, to have just a bit of life. We're the ones that struck out, and, you know, we wrote letters, you know, we enjoyed the CD, we enjoyed new music when music was popular music and stuff like that, and we struggled with all the limitation of the society that there was, and then you now have the generation of younger ones, our children, you know, those are in their teenage years, they're in their 10 years, the Gen X, as we like to call them, those in their late teens to early 20s, they're coming up behind us, and they didn't get to experience all of this, and they are coming from a whole new mindset and also going to a totally different place. So, you know, what are we doing differently? I think we're bridging that gap by defining a new generation of Nigerian men that are generally sensitive and you know, selfless, if you would, you know, in some aspects. We got so, you know, vulnerable at times, but we're actually more defined by understanding society and not being held by we understand the fact that, look, you know, we can be adventurous, you know, we can be grounded and, you know, stable and self-sustaining, and we don't have to be bound by culture as it used to be with previous generations. So that's what I think men like me are, you know. Previous generations, culture was everything. You didn't do certain mm-hmm. things just because it was widely held like such. We challenge that to a large extent, and we redefine that whilst embracing that culture. So the new generation Nigerian man, you know, would value culture, but would also understand, you know, the need for things like globalization, understanding the need for valuing your nuclear family over the demands okay. of your extended family. You understand the need for connecting with your children and understanding that, you know, you need to be a good father and correcting the mistakes of the previous generation where, you know, we rarely actually connected with our fathers, you know. So in that sense, I think the new generation of Nigerian man is that bridge. Yeah, that bridging the gap to the generation that's to come, who most likely don't really understand what Nigeria is, but, you know, they're super global, they're super adventurous, they're very, very vocal. And, you know, I guess we are going to be that gap by saying, don't lose every essence of what makes you Nigerian, but then also go and fly and be more global than even we ever were.
Well, thanks, Femi. Thanks so much. I mean, you just took everything out of my head. And that brings me to one interesting question I was going to ask you. I noticed that, you know, in the older men or the older generation, or I would say my generation, we came out from this school of thoughts, and that is what I've noticed right now, that the young generation man now, especially in Nigeria, or you know, all over, they tend to be very will I put it way out, you know, like you would find, for example, you would find somebody that went to school to study medicine who is not practicing at all. Maybe he now yes. decides to become a musician, but he's very successful. You understand? Yes. And that is the one thing I noticed that the new generation men are doing. Now, the question I want to ask you is, are you doing it out of, are the new generation men doing it out of passion, or are they doing it for the money? Are they money-driven or are they passion-driven?
Most of it is passion-driven, but I would term it as, if we'll still go with the term, the new generation Nigerian man, we are more about living fulfilling lives. I think previous generation of Nigerian men lived lives of sacrifices. So you worked hard, yeah, to build a career, to build a family, to build a reputation, and that's what mattered. And it was based on the construct of society, what society expected of you, how society expected you to behave, and all that sort of thing. And people in my generation just want to live our lives. And, you know, if I want to have a family, then that's my choice, right? And, you know, if I want to study medicine and then I decide I want to be a musician, then that's my prerogative as well, you know? And this society can't tell me what to do, you know? And I think that's the general mindset. So the idea is that we are three main factors, yeah? We're living fulfilling lives, which is what makes me happy, yeah? And I think that's what drove a lot of choices that you see in my generation. You also find that we understand the connection between working hard and working smart. So it wasn't just toiling away at a job and whatnot. Entrepreneurship largely grew up mostly with my generation. And for me, for instance, out of school, I decided I didn't want to work, you know, and I decided I wanted to do something on my own. Now, I as they say it in Yoruba and all that, the emojekpa, you understand, in understanding how society works and business works and entrepreneurship and all of that. But at the end of the day, I also was quite fulfilled with a lot of the choices that I did. And, you know, I'm quite happy with the journey that I had, but it was my journey. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't dictated onto me. And that's one thing that's quite different with my generation and all that. And more importantly, we take risks and chances because we want to be fulfilling. And you know, it's not every chance that you take that's going to turn out well. Some of it, you know, in fact, 10, maybe 8 out of 10 times you have egg on your face. But guess what? For though every one chance that you take and it works out well, you're fully fulfilled. And that's what happens to our generation in regards to career development, marriage choices, fatherhood, and then even just generally things like, you know, self time and what you want to do, what you want to achieve.
Okay, Femi, you know what? Now that you talked about marriage, let's go into the new generation man and marriage. From my own perspective, okay, which I've noticed over time. You said something earlier, which is true. One of the things I noticed that our generation men were held down with was culture. I mean, that's something that's one factor you cannot take away from Nigeria. And that's what I always tell people, that unfortunately, we're Africans and we're governed by an invisible line called culture. Without us knowing, it binds us to do things. But I've noticed that the new generation men, especially when it comes to marriage, I look at it as it's like marriage to them is more like a drive-thru, if I might call it that. It's like a drive-thru service. You know, it's like you just stay by the window. You order what you want to order. If you get to the car park and it's not what you want, you return it.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Half and half. Yeah. I will agree with you halfway, but I would also try to explain what I think is responsible for that. So.
Okay.
Years ago, I was talking with one of my aunts, and she had a very terrible marriage. And she was, in fact, all my aunts, you know, I grew up with one, God bless her, so she passed on in 1996. She was like my second mom. And my mom's younger sister. And I remember, you know, I used to watched, they both had horrible marriages. And in fact, a lot of women in my mother's family were quite successful, but they had horrible marriages. And I'm talking about cold-hearted husbands, you know, husbands who took advantage. And these are women who were on top of their game, you know, they were creating wealth, they were creating families, and, you know, if anything, their husbands actually dragged them down and hindered them, hindered their happiness, if anything. So that's the aspect of culture, right? And I was asking my aunt, I remember this, we're driving, this was maybe about, I don't know, about 15, 14 years ago, and she was like, I was like, you know, so why did you stay with that man that long? And she was like, you know what, the way we grew up is you never leave your husband's house. And that's what we're taught with, you know, and we were inducted into that, you know, mindset so much that we don't even think about, you know, questioning it. It just wasn't. So a lot of women were probably disenfranchised from their ability to be able to make a choice about being fulfilled in a marriage or not. And the same thing also went for men, right? So again, you find that same generation of, you know, Nigerian fathers trying to impress upon their children the way they want them to live. And don't forget, we are the generation that grew up on rap and slight anti-establishment. So for us, it was cool to, like, you know, rebel a bit, right? To be able to push up against, you know, this cultural norm. Now, what happens is sometimes people react badly. So in the sense of your analogy of going to not happy with a marriage and going to a parking lot and returning it back, well, it just happened to be that a lot of people came into that power of choice and that need to live a fulfilling life, and they probably didn't handle it properly. So yes, I have a lot of, you know, people in my generation that I know that have marriages that are broken up 1 year in, 2 years in, 5 years in, mm-hmm. 10 years in. Thankfully, I'm 13 years in. I thank God it's not an easy journey, but it's a fulfilling journey. And it's a journey that I would like to, you know, stay until I die, right? So again, it goes into, okay, you know, how did you get into the marriage? Was it by influence of your parents? Was it by demands of society? Was it your choice? Because you find that a lot of times when people realize it's not my choice and I do have a power to make a choice, then they would react in that parking lot manner, like you mentioned. So, with new generation marriages, I think a lot of people are seeking for what fulfills them. On the flip side, we also mm-hmm. are influenced by society's trends a lot. So we probably rush into a lot of decision making, and that means rushing into a marriage without really thinking it through. You know how they, was that Yoruba adage that, you know, ekoti agbabari lati joko omode oleri lati juro, something like that, you know, like, you know, the child who is standing can't see what an adult will see sitting down. So there's possibly that, you know, whole aspect of it. But I think if we look deep, it really is a need to fulfill their lives, because people realize that, you know, this whole concept of YOLO, you only have one life to live, right? If you're living with a woman who, you know, doesn't understand you, you're not on the same wavelength, you know, is probably, you know, making your life a miserable hell and all that, yeah, you will start thinking, I can't do this anymore. I want out. And women too, you know, a lot of times, you know, you find that the rate of divorce instigated by women has gone drastically up, you know, even in places like the core conservative North. That's just because people just realize, I need to live my fulfilling life. I have, you know, a finite life, and I need to make sure that I'm doing things for me. So binding culture probably kept a lot of people in your generation in their marriage, not necessarily because they were happy with those marriages, but just because that's the way things were. So the minute society evolves and then tells people or shows people that they don't have to stay the way things were, then people took those choices. Now, people probably made a lot of bad choices, but if you look as well, you find a lot of us made very good choices, you know, and in that, you will find, you know, you'll find quite an interesting trend. So for instance, now, previous generation of, you know, men, people in your generation or that year, Yoruba wants to marry Igbo. What are you going to hear from the family?
Exactly. Yeah. I was actually going to go that in my second question. You know, yes. Like I said, before we continue, I mean, this for my viewers, this is still Real Talk with Lola on Spirit of Nigeria Radio and Life Radio 107.5 FM. Ibadan, and I'm talking with Femi Odewumi, known as the great FO, you know, and I'm still going to go back to that, and I want to know the meaning of that great FO. What have you been doing since I left you, you know, that you got that nickname before I even knew? What have you been doing? So, you know, we'll get to that later. We'll get to that after, yeah. You know, but yeah. Like I said, this is actually very, very nice to have you on my program. But going back to our questions, before I start taking questions from the sent in, one thing I've wanted to ask you, which I noticed with the new generation men, is, and it's still on the issue of marriage, okay? Yes. It just might be my thought, and I might be wrong, but I need you to put me on the right track if I'm wrong. I'm of the belief that marriage now for the new generation man is not more of let's put love on the shelf right now, because I don't even think love is that. It's now marriage of will I put it like, it's more of a contract, you know. It's paying me, it's paying the girl, we're in it together. Like our own generation, when I tell people that when we went into marriage, you know, we went into marriage because we knew that the man was gonna be responsible for us. You understand? Right. You were not ashamed of that. But now the new generation man already has this mindset that, you know, I'm not supposed to pick up the bills 100%. And when you go into marriage with that kind of mindset, you go into the marriage with 50-50, right? And yet, you still demand 100% respect from a woman you are 15 things with. Please, can you unrattle me a little bit?
Right. I think you're trying to box us here, so I have to fight for this new generation men that, you know, we're under assault for our reputation. I'm just joking. Just to actually, it's interesting that you're broadcasting in Ibadan, because I'm from Ibadan, so yeah, so it'll be interesting. let me put it like this. There's a lot of factors at play in such situations. Number one, there's been an emancipation of the Nigerian woman, right? Okay. So you find there's a huge conversation around gender equality, and rightly so, and you know, and understanding the values of women, especially in the workforce, as powerful women, and even in the home and whatnot. And you've also found that, you know, there's been a trend of, you know, hardworking Nigerian women who have done very well and have possibly been, you know, breadwinners in their homes, you know, or at least, you know, largely big contributors to their families. So okay. I don't think it's a decision of men to go into marriages, or most men within that age. And we're talking about the age of, you know, those who got married, and those who are, like, you know, I'm talking about late 30s, 37s to say 45s, right? I don't think a lot of them go into marriage and say, well, I don't want to be responsible, even though a lot of men are. Like, I know some men who are palmy, like, you know, I hear some stories of men who leave their marriages, don't pay their children support and all that. And I'm thinking, how does that even work? You understand? You know, or you know, whatnot. Anyway, but the fact is, when you have this conversation about, you know, strong women, you know, coming into their choices, coming into wealth, coming into all of that, the conversation changes with regards to who's responsible for what in the house, right? So I think that's the foundation of that problem, if there's a problem or people misbehaving, is where there's no conversation about how do we run things. So you find, like I said, people in my generation got into this world where you had more choices than your father, your mother did. So you could actually control things more than your father, your mother did. So you probably were impatient, or, you know, rushing to things. So you probably didn't have conversation. How do we want to run a home? you know, how many children do we want to have? What do we want to do? Where do we want them to go to school? You know, those conversations are very important. And then the more important conversations is to be able to determine that your wife or your husband, you know, is going to be your friend, your partner, and your pal that you can discuss with, because communication is very important, and that's where you get to resolve those issues. So marriages where that is lacking a lot, you will find that yes, you might have situations where people might react by maybe not upholding their own end of the bargain or not, you know, living up to their responsibilities, but it might be a sign of rebellion, you know, based on maybe how they perceive they've been treated or how things have gone, and that can be traced back to a lack of communication most times. So there's that, and I'm not making excuses for men who abscond their duties or not. I think it's appalling. I think it's, I don't understand why you're in a marriage if you're going to behave like that in the first place. So you know, having said that, I also think that, you know, the major part of the worry is actually, if I can use the term, for the newer generation man or the men and women who are coming after us, those who are, you know, in their late 20s, entering their 30s, those are the people who, they live for social media, they live for trends. Everything is a proper transaction. I want to have an engagement because I want my friends to talk about it on social media, right? You know, I want to have a big wedding because I want to be the talk of the town. I want to do that. And people spend more time planning their weddings than their marriage. So of course they're going to have problems when the tough issues arise, because it's always easy to plan the fun stuff, the trending stuff, the glitzy stuff, the social media stuff. It's hard to be in a marriage when you've lost your job and you need to be able to say, look, you know, this is how we're going to survive. It's hard to be in a marriage where you obviously have offended each other, and to be able to have a mature sit down to say, look, you know, you pissed me off, but we're going to have a conversation about this. And we're going to have a conversation about it. It's not like I'm going to throw this marriage away, but we're going to have a conversation about how that made me feel, not how you made me feel. You know, those are the hard things that make marriage work, you know, and those are the things that the coming generation probably needs to take into consideration a whole lot more. And that's where the major bulk of the worry is. So, you know, I think there's a lot of factors that will go into maybe men reacting that way. And then there's also the fact that some men who grew up with, you know, major daddy issues, maybe didn't connect well with their fathers, or didn't connect well with families or not. Of course, they'll go into marriages with those baggages. So again, that can then be also traced to the failure of the previous generation. If you don't teach your son how to be a man, to respect man. Women, to understand values, to do what? When he gets into a marriage of his own, all that, what's he going to do? He's going to react the best way he knows that, which might not be the best. So for instance, now, in my case, I didn't grow up with my father. Yeah, and for a long time I wanted a father. I looked for a father and I didn't get one. But, you know, by God so doing, I did have a lot of, you know, uncles and older friends who, you know, gave me a chance at life and nurtured my mind through the way. And now everything I try to do is to ensure that my sons are, you know, going to be a better man than I am. So look, you know, my sons, I run a house, well, rather, let me put it, my wife runs a house too, but we live in a house where we don't have a house help. We've never had a house help, you know, and when we have that conversation with our friends, it's always like, how do you survive? But yes, we've done it, you know. I clean the house, my wife cleans the house, we've taught our kids to clean the house. They cook for themselves. In fact, there's sometimes when our kids cook for us, you know, on Saturday mornings or whatnot, you know. And those are decisions that we've taken to, this is how we want to run our home, you know. And we try to teach our kids values, respect, you know, understanding how the world works, especially the world they're going to be going to. Now, I'm not trying to make sure that they behave the way I behave, because the world I'm coming from is vastly different. They're going to be in a very different world in the next 15, 20 years. But I need them to understand that no matter where you find yourself, even if everybody is going crazy, you should still understand that this is who I am as the person and this is how I want to behave. And my hope is that they would have their marriages someday and they will become fantastic husbands, great fathers, and all of that. So there's a lot of factors that play into how people behave, misbehave, or react.
I would say on that issue, I totally agree with you. But one of the things you touched, which I always say to people, that One important thing which I say is that, you see, you cannot give what you don't have most times.
Exactly.
Yeah, but sometimes in life, you can actually make a deliberate way to change some things. Like, I would never write off a complete case of, I mean, look at you, look at the way you turned out. You knew that, okay, you know what, I'm not coming from a very fantastic situation with a father figure, so you made a conscious effort that, you know what, I'm going to change the roles. It's not going to continue. But again, you have some men, and that is where I would make this joke. When your president said, you know, the lazy Nigerian youths, some men are actually the new generation. Man, I have noticed, or I would not say I've come to a mini conclusion, not a full conclusion, that I think that they are a little bit, the new generation man, it can be a little bit laid back. When I say laid back, you know, during our time, men were a little bit, it was a thing of pride to be a man that could take care of, I could pick the bills. I mean, that actually was one of the qualities that you called a man. But it seems as if the new generation man now doesn't even find anything wrong in not being able to pick up their bills. They think it's just a way of life.
So you know, I think it also depends on circles. As you're speaking, I'm mentally taking a look at my circle, and I can't find people like that.
Exactly.
But I know of people like that, you know. So the fact is, again, I think it depends on a large society circle. But what's more interesting is, for me, my truth is, I grew up seeing lazy men. That was my truth. I grew up and I can count them. I can see them in my head. You know, men who, their wives were the ones that were building wealth, building the family, and all this men did was run failed businesses, take loans, do all sorts of nonsense and all that, yeah? And in the end, you know, they just brought heartache to their wives. That's what I grew up with. And I think maybe that was my driving force, was that's not normal, you know? So it's interesting that you see that problem in this current generation, but I saw that problem in the previous generation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it does show that, like I always say, as a psychologist, it depends on the way you're looking at it from. Just like the way I saw it in the generation, you are seeing it in the next generation. Now, Femi, let me ask you one very interesting question, which somebody just said now. Why is it that this new generation, somebody asked a question, what are they all about? What are they looking for? It seems that they have their hands in so many pies.
Okay, so so again, you know, I like to redefine, because like I said, you know, I'm in my 40s, right? So I look at a lot of young men and I think, what are they on about? So I'm going to define them as my generation and then the future generation. And future generation, I will categorize as anybody under 35 down to 20. Yeah, would you allow me to do that?
Okay.
So in my generation, when I look around, to be honest, and again, this might be a case of my immediate social circle, but at least because of my business, I get to travel a lot, and I see a lot of, you know, things around Nigeria and different states and everything. In my generation, I think I see a lot of stable, grounded men, but are very adventurous. Men who try to do what, who saw their fathers or their uncles, who got inspired to try something, and they probably did it, you know, called foolishness. And in fact, I remember when I started my business, and I remember very clearly, I was speaking to one of those times when I saw my dad, he was at Kedja, and he said, you know, you're foolish, this thing is never going to work. And I remember he telling me that completely. And I can imagine how many of my friends got such statements from their fathers, their uncles, or whatnot. And at the end of the day, some businesses, some ideas failed, right? And then some actually worked out and we're here. So, you know, I think a lot of people in my generation are stable grounded, but they're very adventurous. They're usually quite self-sustained, people who don't rely on their families because they think they are the ones that are going to do what they want to do. So in the end, I've set a lot of people to school. I'm still sending people to school. I pay university fees and all that. I know there are me and my friends that do that, you know, and they're hardworking, but they believe in being cautiously optimistic. Now, remember that I said that where we position ourselves now, or where we find ourselves, is we are the bridge between your generation and mine, and then the future one. So for us, it's almost like a bridge. So we were like the ones that try to test the water than do water, but we still hold on to culture. Like if I hear, you know, local music now, I would dance, I would understand. If I remember, if I hear Sonny Adeo from back in the days, it would take me back memories, right? You have the future generation that they don't have that at all. They don't even know what a record player is. They never had an audio tape. They don't know what Pro 2 is or TDK 2 or all those kind of fun stuff, double decker thing, you know, things that we used to do back in the days, right? These guys are wildly innovative. They see things the way we don't see things. Those are the people who are now in the Bitcoin generation, blockchain, all sorts of things that they're doing. They're socially vocal. They're the ones that who go and stand at the toll gate at Lekki, and then the shouting answers. And in fact, you know, the joke then was, the people who were at, and this is by no means, I'm not disparaging anybody that went for NSAS, but the joke that we had, and what we're talking about, the people who stayed at the toll gate when the head soldiers were coming are people who did not grow up during military rule. Because if you grew up in the 80s, I mean, if you had said soldier war, you know that you have to make sure that you start from at least 5 kilometers of that area, because soldiers war is anybody. But the head soldiers war, they still stayed there. That's the kind of generation that you're dealing with. So they're socially, you know, they're socially vocal, they're bold, they're super adventurous. But then here comes the problem. Because they feel a lot of the time that Nigeria has failed them, or this society doesn't have a lot of things for them, what happens is that they become self-indulgent. Yeah, and then sometimes impatient. So when you now say about these people who are just, you know, making rash decisions or taking irrational decisions, those are the kind of societal factors that are baked into it. So it is now, the onus is now on my generation, not yours, to be able to lay the next good foundation, because your generation has done it for us, our father's generation has done it for us as well, right? So it's for us to now be able to lay the good foundation to inspire a whole generation of good, stable Nigerian young men. And that's what personally I try to do. So the men in my office, or the men that work with me, I try to inspire them a lot, you know, to be better at what they do, who they are. And thankfully, every person who's worked for me, if you ask them for a testimonial, they will tell you how I have inspired them to be a better person. Now, I have friends who are doing the same thing, who are actively trying to make sure that in their sphere of influence, every young man that they come across, they try to, you know, imbibe some values in them, no matter what they think or in terms of the society. So I think that's where it is, you know, in terms of defining what this new generation, you know, goes on. I had to break it up into my generation and then the future generation.
All right, I think it's a good point to have here, Lola, because I've been listening to what's been happening. All right, and I think it's going on well, no problems. Just a few clarifications that I would like to see. Now, when you talk, I like the way you've broken down, because age-wise, yeah, we also need to make that distinction. What exactly is one generation to the other? All right. So what I hear you say is that, okay, you are closer to our generation than their generation, if you know what I mean. The NSE Moet generation, the guys who go to a nightclub and buy a bottle of champagne and pour it on his gold wristwatch. I wasn't trained like that. It's a misnomer. If I had that culture shock when I started running a nightclub, you know. So I don't know. When we used to go to nightclub, nobody was changing naira to dollar. Nobody had a sling bag, you know, changing to unity in a nightclub. I mean, it was, when we were not at Owa, you know. All right. But my question now is, this sense of fulfillment, you know, and desire to live a fulfilled life leads to a lot of excesses and is beginning to redefine the young people in Nigeria, especially aided by the kind of music that is out there right now. When people talk about rape, about teenage pregnancy, it's also influenced by some of the things that they see in the broadcast media.
Right.
Let me put it that way. So I'm just saying that we need that, if you ask me, sort of reorientation so that the values, you know, okay, I don't want to mention it, but there are some musicians I'll never play on this radio station, neither the one in the
right,
you know, because they're not adding value, you know. And I'm saying, so this generation is more like a generation of all form and no content, which is what you need to be a real man. That's why, like Lola said, marriages will be collapsing and all of those things will be happening because they are not grounded, you know. It's a major problem that we need to address. We need to address in Nigeria. The other issue I have, which I would like you to take, digital age, everything, but they are doing more fraud with digital than, you know, than the constructive work. EFCC last week said that 70% of Nigerian youth will end up in jail with a high level of cybercrime that they are experiencing if we are not careful. You know, that's not
right.
Good news.
Wow.
That's not good news, you know. I'm just saying that, you know, I agree with you totally. I just wanted to put my own perspective to some of these things, you know, because everything for me at the end of the day boils down to the family, to the, you know, that unit of society that has to, you know, mold and shape, you know, our young men, you know. A lot of young men these days, man, they don't know left from right too. But you have to make it just like you are making your children. Yeah, just like you are making your children cook. That's the way my children cook. You know, there's something about this old culture and tradition that makes you grounded. That can make you stand in front of a crowd and talk. That can, you know, not all these boys now. That look, when we're having our weddings, as Lola, you buy the cloth of your father, of your mother, of your uncle. Now they do weddings for them, lavish weddings, and they can't sustain the marriage. It's a big shame. I don't know where it's going to lead Nigeria. I just thought I should throw in my own, you know, break or breaker, since Lola refused to take a music break. So please go ahead.
Okay, but they're very interesting points you made, and I would like to be able to tag them to specific things, vis-a-vis values and then what we can do. So, you know, I like what you just said in terms of marriage now, I'll give you an example. When I got married, and Lola knew this then, you know, when I got married, the week before my wedding, Lagos State closed down the venue. It was Liberty Halls in Ibadan or something. Liberty, I said, in GRA, and they closed it down. So I literally had to look for a new venue, right? And then we're dealing with that. Then the designer, very famous designer and all that, didn't deliver my wife's dress. So in the end, you know, my wife wore a dress that was made by her friend 3 days before the wedding. She went to Lagos Island, sewed the dress, and the earrings and the shoes never came. So she wore 300 naira earrings, and £1 slippers that her friend bought for her, and we're still married today. My shirt, I literally picked it up from the airport, and then that was it. What am I trying to say? It really is about how values are baked into a society. Because at that point in time, I also grew up from a lot of process, and for me that process was important, that when you need to have something, you know, you kind of work for it. Right now, what example are these younger generation, the super modern Nigerian men, what are they seeing these days? Because I see myself, you see yourself, but we are a speck in our generation, because within our generation as well, we still have a lot of people who are leading bad examples. So let's go back to the everybody wants to go. Look, came from somewhere, because at the end of the day, the EFCC guy says that we're going to have about 70% youth ending in crime. Okay, what are 70% of Nigerian politicians or people in government offices, what are they doing? Are they not in crime? So when the young generation see them, what are they supposed to see? Because the latest G-Wagon was always, you know, unveiled by a politician. The Ferraris were always by the children of the NNPC bosses. yeah, the private jets were always with those who were the same politicians, those in Lola's generation, my father's generation and all that. They didn't leave anything much to be desired. So you now bring a generation of children who do not know cultural boundaries, who do not understand what Nigeria went through when we didn't have internet, who did not understand what it meant to have to write a letter, wait 2 weeks to get it back, who they see everything, their technology in their hands. Their children who their first interface with, you know, learning is with the tablet. And you now want to, they can see everything. They are not bound. We were even bound because we grew up with culture and tradition. So we sort of had some restraints. These guys have no restraints. So what are they?
Your house was padlocked, you know. How can you use it?
But the point is they are a reflection of us. They are reflecting what we, our generation, has done or has shown them. They're just amplifying it. So that's why I make the mention that I specifically try to, within my own social circles, my employment circles, what I have power to do, to be able to inspire men to be able to do better. Yeah? Down to even like my driver and whatnot. And I have friends who, you know, I have a friend who is Chika. He runs a company called Decagon. And what he's done is he has created this company where he now trains Nigerian developers and now makes them world standards to give them jobs. He gave us an example once. He said the best qualified, developer that he had in one particular cohort. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the best. Okay, so they're taking thousands of entries. I think about 3,000 to 4,000 entries. Then they screen them down to about 700 and something. And then they screen them down again to the absolute best 200 that they qualify. And the number one guy in that batch was some guy who was teaching in Kaduna at 50,000 naira a month.
Mm. Wow.
Now, when Chika is able to do this and take 200 people out of that crazy, there's no future society, there's no future ambition type of thing, and then make them into grown men, he's going to make another generation of future men who are going to do great. So the question should not be, okay, we understand that we have a crazy problem going on in our society. So what can we do? That's where the conversation is leading to. Because if we don't do anything, then they're only going to explode. What you see, are they pouring champagne on themselves? They're going to be buying crates and then they pour it outside on the floor before they even enter the club. That's what they're going to do next.
you know what, Femi? I would like put it. I know this conversation can go on and on and on, but you see, for me, from a psychological point of view, what I have come to conclude is that, like you rightly said, I think the generation are wired differently. My generation is different from your generation. It's going to be different from Absolutely. The next generation to come. But yeah. The most important thing is that, you know, it's basically where you're coming from, the morals that you have, the mindset that you have, you understand? And, you know, you've said the most, something that is very important. It's what you see. Some of these people don't understand. I mean, social media is one of the biggest problems I think we have right now. And that's,
Absolutely.
And when I say a problem, it's because people cannot actually draw the line between fantasy and reality.
Yeah.
Some people...
Just like the examples he gave. Those are perfect examples of how people...
Yeah.
That champagne thing is because somebody sees somebody doing it and he desires it so much that he would do anything, even go and steal or do crime, just to be able to come back.
It might even be a musical commercial.
Influence.
You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the same thing I was discussing with somebody today about religion, you understand? Religion is something that some people just go into hook, line, and sinker. And regardless of their education, their exposure, you cannot change their mindset. You understand?
Right.
So what am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that, you see, the new generation man need to take like a back seat, you understand, and ask themselves some basic questions. Like some of them will tell you, oh no, I'm not showing these emotions because I'm a man. I don't want to cry. I don't want to do this. No, like you said, you're getting it wrong. It doesn't show weakness. It just shows that you are in tune with yourself sometimes when you do some things like vulnerability. First and foremost, we're human beings and we can always fall prey to anything, you understand? So what am I trying to say to you? The new generation men, what are they all about? Is it all about the external, or do they still have a little bit of the internal still working for them? So what are your last words before we go off now?
Well, I think the external drives a lot, you know, of what, how they think of things external. So they think they consume a lot of external influence. And I like, you know, the example, you know, he gave earlier in terms of music, which is a huge influence. But again, we listen to horrible music with Tupac, Biggie, and all this kind of NWA type of thing. But we had a bigger binding cultural aspect, if you would. So we gave ourselves brain, if you wanted to say it. But now they are listening to worse lyrics without any larger binding, cultural binding thing that's bringing them back. So what are they all about? A lot of it is all about self-fulfillment. And without the aspect of society trying to reorientate, it's only going to get worse. So that's why I advocate for, you know, society is not just going to wake up one day and say, we want to be a better society. It's going to start from me to you, to him, to, you know, all our friends and all that. Now keep on talking like this and keep on reaffirming like this. But more importantly, I think if you want to make a change with the future generation, it is not to condemn them, but to try to engage and discuss with them. Because that's one thing that maybe they feel as if they're being condemned or whatnot. They go extra anti-establishment, they shut it down, and they do whatever they want to do.
Yeah. That is one thing I would say I totally agree with you on. Because I've realized that even the younger generation, you don't meet them with force. You meet them with dialogue. You need to let them see where you're coming from. And let them see where you're trying to take them to. Even with my own young adults, I try to have a conversation with them, not a reinforcement. I don't force anything down. We talk about it. Let them see the pros and cons of what I'm talking about. Let them make their decisions. And fine, I have a backup plan just in case their decision fails. You always have to have a plan B, you know, just in case it fails, so that they can always fall back on you.
You know, I learned that the hard way, because with my kids, I mean, they're just 10, 9, 10. And, you know, I used to be of the opinion of if they did something, I had to punish them or something. And it never worked. Yeah, and my kids would decide, if he says, I don't want to learn anything today, that says he doesn't want to learn anything today. So we had to then start explaining to him that the world doesn't revolve around you. And, you know, those are kids that are 10 years old. They're already challenging my authority. Mm-hmm. So how much more somebody who's 22 years old who decides, you know, I'm not going to listen, is for your pocket, you know? So yes, we learn that every day. And I think it's the engagement, you know, with a way to actually solving the problem without condemning them themselves might yield something. Because, you know, and it's hard, because when you see some of this behavior, you're just absolutely disgusted.
I know.
Your time is fast spent.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Femi. Thanks for coming
on. Thank you very much.
I hope you enjoyed yourself. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
All right. Just
have a good evening.
Make sure he gets a copy of the interview so I can review it. And
yes, I will. And he can always tell his friends to listen on here. Thank you so much.
Sure thing. Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you very much.
Have a good evening.
Thanks.
All right, we'll talk with Lola. We'll be back again on Spirit of Nigeria Radio next week, Sunday, 6 p.m. Nigeria time. Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Because I got you gone, I got you gone, baby. Oh, my hand, I got you gone, I got you gone.